The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Peter Whale, Executive Director of Strategic Minerals and Director of CRL, and of course, ticker there generally is SML, and that's Cornwall Resources, of course. Peter, nice to chat to you. I haven't spoken for ages.
Hi, Justin. Good to talk to you as well. It has been quite a while, I'm afraid.
Yeah, and I know you've been busy in the background, you know, but sometimes you can't RNS everything you do, can you? That's what investors like in investment, you know, RNS and you get the morning where you're going. But of course, you can't do that. It's got to be significant, and it takes a long time to work up these things, doesn't it, you know?
Yeah, and we are always very focused about not having RNSs that don't have any substance. But I think invariably in the recent environment and recent times, everything's taken longer to kind of come to fruition, which is frustrating for everybody and it's frustrating for shareholders. Hopefully we're moving into a more active period now where things do start to conclude.
Yeah, hopefully. Okay. Well, let's talk about the news. You've had some news out on your Cornwall Resources subsidiary with some assay results showing high-grade tin. Take us through that, if you could, Peter.
Sure. Do you want me to give the introduction to Strategic first?
Yeah, because it's not all about Cornwall. Yeah, I mean, for people not familiar, go on, go for it, because I like to do this if people are not familiar with Strategic, because it's more than just about this, of course, and we'll touch on other parts of the business in a bit. But yes, go for it, if you could, Peter.
Okay, so Strategic Minerals is a profitable, diversified company with producing, near production and development assets across various safe jurisdictions. We supply magnetite in New Mexico. We're ever closer to commencing mining copper in Lee Creek in South Australia. We're developing our tin, tungsten and copper projects in Redmore here in the UK in Cornwall. And we're also planning further exciting exploration in both Redmore and Lee Creek for all of those metals.
Excellent stuff. Okay, so take us through some of these assay results, if you could, Peter.
Certainly. So we've had what we call the Redmore West Exploration Program. It has taken some time to complete for various reasons out of our control, but we were focusing on targeting tin and copper, and we dug three trenches. We also used an auger program to get samples. We did some closer space sampling as well. And what we've ended up with is some pretty impressive results. In fact, exceptional tin grades. And our project's delivered a lot of great tin grades over the drilling program in the past. To remind you, we've got a resource at the moment which is 11.7 million tonnes, the tin equivalent of 1.17%, and that's made up of tungsten, tin and copper in that order. But now, just near surface, we've discovered pure tin-only grades as high as 0.87%, so approaching 1% tin only. That is comfortably ore grade, close to surface, not at depth. So I think at the start of this program, I would have, if I'd had these results coming up, I would have been very surprised at how good they were, and I would have very much taken it. It does show how prospective our license in East Cornwall could be, and perhaps we've only scratched the surface so far. It could be very significant in the evolution of our resource size. We've actually followed up with some hand-pitting analysis to further verify. You know, we felt these readings were amazingly good, so we wanted to be sure that they were derived from in-situ materials, so mineralization, rather than we'd kind of entered into an old historical waste dump, which would have been obviously a bit like cheating. So they are verified as in-situ. It's premature to talk in terms of whether this translates into something which will materially impact our resource without actual drilling, but it certainly helps add support to the theories that A, our resource is much larger, B, there's plenty of tin and other metals yet to be found.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, just going to say that, you know, I mean, these have got to sort of prove up, well, they're quite important, I suppose, to the exploration potential, aren't they?
Absolutely. I mean, whilst we have an existing exploration target which is adjacent to our current resource, which is between 4 and 8 million tonnes at more than 1% tin equivalent. These latest discoveries have generated brand new targets, so they may offer additional potential to grow the resource to the west. We had less significant results showing for copper, but we did come up with some tungsten again. The grades were around 0.2%. Now, whilst that might not sound exciting at face value and compared to our other results, don't forget this is at surface and effectively mineable. All of our trenching showed anomalous levels of pathfinder elements, so it's very clear that this program was a great success. And if we were to confirm all discovery with drilling, it could be really easily mineable and add to the main resource. So quite a significant development, really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And a lot of exploring is, like I say, you know, it's finding out about the resource, understanding it, you know, how it sits there. What do you think? Do you think you have a better or good understanding now of the resource here, Peter?
I think it's a good question. I think we've always had a good handle on the resource and the potential. And clearly, we're biased in the way that we feel our project is really good and perhaps underrated as a result of being less known about. But these results today actually give robust evidence of mineralization to the west of Redmore. That's confirming what we suspected and speculated. That's why we undertook this program. So it's great to have our perceived understanding of our own resource backed up further. Remember, whilst mining has historically occurred within our license in East Cornwall, there's quite a large gap that occurs where there's been minimal or no mining in our license area. So our exploration and drill programs have predominantly been focusing on virgin, unmined areas, and thus far we've hit some very meaningful targets. Also, in terms of planning a mine, we don't have the issues of old workings to avoid or flooded mine workings, anything like that. So it does make for quite a clean opportunity.
Yeah, yeah. And so what's the next steps now for Cornwall Resources Limited?
So we're following up on these results, and it's going to help us formulate and formalise our next exploration plans. We also have the ongoing Deep Digital Cornwall collaboration with Camborne School of Mines and Cornish Lithium. We are conducting soil sampling and geophysics, that was mentioned in the news update. This is going to provide really valuable new data for Cornwall in general, and it's going to highlight probable future targets. I think we've got a very busy team of field assistants out there every day doing this work, and you know, it takes time to generate the analysis and the results of this, but it is going to be quite meaningful, I think. It just means that there's actually a lot more to Cornwall Resources than meets the eye.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you know what? I know we sort of lost a year, but it seems like a while ago since Strategic took, 100% control of Cornwall Resources. How do you think it's working out so far?
So it's actually been around a couple of years since we took full control. I think it was very timely in hindsight, and yeah, I'm bound to say that it was a good deal, but it's looking easy to justify that given how much the metals prices have risen since then. You've got tin making fresh highs and getting much more in the headlines now. Tungsten is at the highest level for some time, just over the 300 level. And in context, those metal prices inputting to our feasibility study, which came out later last year, are looking very conservative, especially in the case of tin. I mean, we're using prices of 20,000 or 22,000 tin in our model. Tin's around 35,000 now, so it's hugely higher. That means that our decent base case for it in our scoping model, which already provides a solid model to justify building a mine, that's actually really well underwritten by not only the higher metal prices, but factoring that we feel that's a conservative estimate anyway, and you've got all of this extra upside for exploration on top. Our game plan's always to build a mine. We've got 100% of a very valuable asset, which actually is almost going up by the week at the moment, with much of our mineral rights left to explore. So we've got confidence of a much larger resource and a longer life project.
Yeah. And I believe there's a bit of an event coming up in Cornwall in October.
Yeah, it's proving very popular, so I'm told. It's the Cornish Mining Conference, and it's in Falmouth on the 18th and 19th of October. Brett and I will be presenting. Our team will be down there. I mean, it should be a very exciting event. You've got, the wider mining community is seeing the potential of metals in the region, and I think that's, tying into the increased prices, the focus on critical minerals. There's actually probably never been more interest at the moment. And so the wider potential in Cornwall is definitely on people's radars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's your thoughts on the Tungsten West IPO, Peter?
Okay, so that's in Devon, but let's not get hung up on that, because at the end of the day, they're quite nearby to us. It's fantastic to see them bring back a failed asset into production, and I know Max and the team there are doing a great job. I hear their IPO roadshow is going really well, and it should be successful and attractive listing. I know they're very bullish about tungsten and tin, so that's very healthy. It'll be great to have a successful neighbouring operation to help demonstrate what's actually possible in the southwest, and that all helps with the perception and reality check, because it's too easy for people to say, you'll never build a mine, or people have tried and failed before, but their reality is actually happening, and the kind of legacy of Wolf is moved beyond as well with Tungsten West. So I can only applaud their efforts, and I think they're going to make a big success of it.
Yeah, cool. And I know there's the news was released on Cornwall Resources, but if you could, what's happening elsewhere? What's happening at Lee Creek and Cobra?
Sure. So Lee Creek, people are keen for news. I understand that. And we are continuing to move forward. We've got, as we already said, a conditional PEPA to restart our operations. Our mine manager and the rest of the team are addressing the conditions, and they're running parallel work streams as we look to restart production and also undertake some exploration. This exploration should be very interesting, given it will link into some previous deeper drilling that's been done historically, and also add resource verification to help add to the life of the mine. I anticipate that we will be in a position to update the market on our plans and funding very shortly, given the advanced stage of various current discussions that are occurring. And that's probably all I can say at this point. As far as, and apart from saying, we're very happy that copper prices remain high, and it definitely helps underwrite a lot of the project and those sort of discussions we're having. Mm-hmm. Cobre, it feels like you were shortchanging it to not say much about it, because it remains a very valuable asset. It's in good shape, good order. They're operating safely. They're generating cash flow for the company. If every business you had was like Cobra, if you had 10 Cobras, you'd be very happy with your operations. So I can't really say any more than that.
Excellent stuff, Peter. It's good to get you on again. It's been a while, so I'm sure you haven't forgotten, though. Three reasons, as you know, on the front page of Vox. There are 10 companies. They are the most followed. It changes every minute, depending on who hits the follow buttons. So to get on that list, please give us three quick reasons why someone should add Strategic Minerals to their watch list, please.
Certainly, Justin. Firstly, I would say, particularly at this time, exploration upside. We've talked about exploration today that's going on in Cornwall, but both Lee Creek and Cornwall Resources assets have big potential to extend their already a very attractive base cases. We're looking to advance the exploration plans to de-risk and add value. This isn't yet appreciated, especially in the case of Lee Creek. The results we've just had at Cornwall Resources spotlight some of the potential there. Secondly, exposure to tin and copper. Mm. So via Strategic, you get a very undervalued and very leveraged entry into the tin and copper themes, which is probably something of a rarity at the moment for a listed vehicle. And finally, re-rating potential. There's actually scope for a huge rebound in our valuation, even ahead of a Lee Creek return to production and generating substantial cash flows. Redmore's latest scoping study, as I said earlier, is based on much lower metal prices, which now translates into a much higher NPV, yet still based on a conservative resource base. So we're demonstrating we've got more upside there as well.
Excellent stuff. Very good to chat to you, and hopefully we won't leave it as long next time, and we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much, Peter.
Sounds good, Justin. All the best.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.